Hello, everyone. It is Debbie DeGroat. Happy Tuesday to all our great Inner Circle members. So we have lots of great stuff to talk about, and I even have something really super cool I'm going to send your way after the call today, which I'll tell you about in just a minute. Just a quick reminder, this call is live today, so you got the real me live in action here, and we do have all the lines muted, but you are able to unmute your line at any time during the conference by hitting *7. If you do unmute to ask a question, go ahead, if you would, please, when you're done and we're done speaking, and hit *7 to mute yourself again, because as you know, we like to get you a nice quiet recording, and then we also like to transcribe these calls. So I'll just take 30 seconds before we dive into today's topic. Some of you probably saw the announcement that same company, new name, I made a decision in the last couple of months that in order to help all of you keep your edge in the market and for us to be able to kick some rear end and disrupt the disruptors, that there were some things that I needed to do. And one of those is change the name. You know, when I created the name Excellium Coaching and Consulting, I got to be honest with you guys, 7.5 years ago, some coach advised me of that, and I picked the name, and I'm not sure I ever loved it because it didn't really speak to the passion of what I believe in, which is we need to move you forward, forward in your business, forward in your life, forward in your skills, forward in your market domination. So I've been struggling with this for a while. It may seem like a small thing to you, but to all of us here, it's an exciting change, and I think it speaks to the passion of the coaches that I have as well. And you may have read in the announcement, which was on Risk Media, in the news, and also the email we sent you, I decided after a lot of soul searching to bring on a business partner. I've had no partners in my company for a reason, because I wanted to be in control. As you guys know, I'm a high D personality. Ben Kinney is someone that I had the pleasure of coaching for about 10 years. Phenomenal just person, phenomenal talent as a broker, as a team leader. He has a really incredible expansion team model he's perfected that we'll be sharing with those of you who are interested. And also, Ben owns 10 technology companies in the real estate space. And because of that, we're going to be able to bring you some bundled benefits, some cool tools, but more than anything, just some advice and counsel on how to stay a step ahead. And, you know, that anxiety of, am I going to be a dinosaur? Will I get left behind? We want to be sure you never, ever feel that. So nothing is changing in terms of your pricing. We grandfathered that in as long as you stay with us. The only thing that will be changing is more benefits and exciting things to come. So we'll keep you posted. All right, but for today's topic, which actually is a favorite of mine, how to break into high-end and luxury markets. So I'm going to take about 20 minutes, and I'm going to go through a few things. If you guys want to take some notes of questions you have, I will circle back and we'll take a break and I'll answer those questions for you. If you have questions about something else as well, I'll stay on with you, you know, for the full hour if we need to answer all those questions. But I do want to start off by saying today's topic is not just about selling luxury. Okay, because there's really two different levels here that we could take a look at today. Level number one would be just simply stepping up a level or two into the next price point. So for example, and I'm just going to pick a number because you guys are coming from all across North America, so everybody's price range is different. But let me just pick a number. Let's say that you are typically working in an average price point of $300,000, which of course for Southern California is too low, but for other places in the country that probably sounds a bit high. But let's just take $300,000. And you're going to choose a geographic farm. And you know that the price point of $400,000 actually sells quite well. Maybe a day or two longer, but it moves quite well. Well, then why not consider a farm that's just a little bit higher? Because the cost of the postcard is going to be the same, but the return on your investment obviously would be greater, right? Because we just bumped up our price by $100,000. Now, if you look at the line, though, from higher end, where we start to cross into luxury and then ultra luxury. So those are really three different categories. So if you're stepping up to the next higher end price point, probably won't really have to do much different. You know, your listing presentation and services you provide will probably be very much the same. If you're stepping up into that luxury price point, now typically luxury is defined as the top 10% of the homes sold, the price point of the homes sold in your market. So if you're stepping up into that luxury segment, you probably will need to upgrade your materials or at least add a few pieces in that speak to luxury. You may even want to consider getting a luxury designation, and those are pretty easy to do. In fact, we work with the Institute, the Luxury Institute for Home Marketing. We do a lot of webinars for them. It's a very reasonable fee to get that designation, but of course you have to do two transactions a year in that price point. And then there's the next level, the ultra luxury. Now, for many of you guys, you would not want to go there, okay? And I'll tell you why. Because in certain markets, the ultra luxury can sit for years and not sell. The sellers can be very demanding. The properties can be incredibly expensive to market. And also, it just might not be your thing, right? You might prefer to do more units versus having, you know, a handful of super ultra luxury listings. So three different categories, and you can find your sweet spot and say, where would I like to be? Now, you guys have heard me talk about Ernie Carswell. So Ernie is the agent I coach in Beverly Hills. Ernie is the guy that sold the Brady Bunch house with all that hoopla that went on. He's Katy Perry and Fergie's real estate agent. He shows property to the Kardashians. And so the rich and famous in Beverly Hills flock to Ernie. I had Ernie come in a couple of weeks ago, and he did about a 40-minute video interview with me. And I think it'll just be very cool for you guys to watch to see that, you know, that stuff you see on TV is not real. Ernie and I even talk about that a little bit. He knows Josh Altman, and, you know, all those stories are made up that you see on Million Dollar Listing. But Ernie's just a very gracious guy, and it's a very real conversation about some of the challenges and benefits of working luxury. But even Ernie said on the video, he made a decision he would only take so many double-digit luxury listings this year because they probably will not sell. But he's got a strategy. He's got to have a couple at all times to market, to be on his website, to keep his credibility in that space, but he has a strategy. So I'm going to send you guys, make sure you get that video. Also, a while back, a few of our top luxury agents were having a little bit of a meltdown about, are we doing enough to get our luxury listings sold? So I did an interview and I did a transcript of that. You guys have had access to that in the past, but I'm going to send that out for you again. Okay. So good video of Ernie and then that transcript where these top agents give you some tips on selling the tough to sell. So we'll make sure you get those very quickly. So secret number one that we're going to talk about today is how to identify your slice of the luxury market. So for most of you, here would be my advice. Find the sweet spot where it will sell. It just will take longer to sell. And then you have to adapt your mindset that you've got to service this listing. You've got to communicate effectively because if you don't, you'll lose that seller, right? And you'll lose that opportunity to sell that property. So that's number one, find your sweet spot. Number two, you've got to become a market expert. Now, you're going to hear Ernie talk about on the video, but I know you won't all have time to watch it or won't watch it right away. Ernie talks about when he moved to Beverly Hills from New York, and he had never been to Beverly Hills. He had no clients, no reach, no knowledge. And one of the first things that Ernie did is he sat down with his broker, and his broker gave him this great idea. And I want to share this with you guys today, so you may want to write this down. His broker said, Ernie, I want you to have at all times 10 incredible properties that you are super excited about, that you know everything about, and you're out there meeting, greeting, connecting, and talking about those 10 properties. So keep in mind, he was brand new to the market. These were not his own listings. So for example, what Ernie does, and he still does it today, when he was here, he had his little leather journal in his hand, and he carried that into the broker tours on Friday. And he would fall in love with the property, and then he would grill the listing agent nicely. Tell me everything about it. If I were to show it, what are some of the things I should highlight? Who's the architect? Why is this part of the community so much more desirable? And he would just journal everything they told him. Then he would go back at night and he would study those notes. He would study those properties. He would always have 10 great properties. So then he'd go to a party or a social gathering and they'd ask him, how's business? And he'd say, you know, it's great. Thank you for asking. Actually, I was just in Barbara Streisand's home the other day. And you know that her toilet is 18 karat gold. Are you kidding me? It would start a whole conversation. So Ernie really began to be known as the guy that knew everything about luxury even before he had his first luxury listing. I will share with you guys, though, if you think you're going to work that higher-end segment and you're going to try to do it without the product and market knowledge, it won't go well. So study your market, study the data, go see those properties, probably have to go out on the broker tours because most of them will not have lock boxes. Now, you also have to work the areas that you're excited about and comfortable working. You know, I remember at the age of 18 when I got into real estate, my broker told me that I should farm a particular neighborhood. Now, if I give you a comparison from now to then, it would be like taking an 18-year-old brand new agent right now to a $1 million neighborhood here in Newport Beach. That's not the super high end for Newport Beach, but for an 18-year-old to go farm million-dollar homes, that's pretty intimidating. So he took me to a farm. At the time, they were probably $150,000, but it was the million-dollar of the day. And he said, you should farm here. And I was scared. I didn't feel comfortable. The people were a lot richer than my family. They were more educated than I would ever be. And I was incredibly intimidated. I had to move to a farm that was a lower price point. So yes, you should push yourself. But if you push yourself into an area that you're so uncomfortable, you're not likely to actually continue the project. So pick your sweet spot. Don't give up your bread and butter business. You could simply budget a small slice of time per week for your new project. Okay? So what is the secret number two, the best prospecting sources? For luxury agents, often that's social. That could be the fact that they grew up in a community and they're very well connected, or they're part of a charity or a networking group. There was a lady I coached for years, and she retired from the business quite wealthy, and most of her clients came from a women's garden club. So it was a very high-end area. Every Wednesday, these ladies got together. There was a speaker and lunch, and she would stay for the lunch, But see, she was passionate about gardening. So I think if you're going to be involved in a group or club, it does need to be something you have an interest in, or you'll seem phony, right? That makes sense. So she would go to that lunch, she would meet and greet and connect with these ladies, and therefore they would list their multi-million dollar homes with her, right? So could be very strategically selecting groups you want to be in front of. Geographic farming. That can be a great way to choose a farm, look at the turnover, look at the competition, but just knowing that if you choose a geographic farm, it's probably going to take you 1 to 2 years to really get significant traction. So if that's of interest to you, go to the Inner Circle Farming Success Kit. We've got a lot of stuff there for you. You can go to your online real estate campus if you're a private coaching client, and you'll see a webinar I have for you there on farming, and talk to your coach or email me. Okay, so you guys should all have my private email, debbiedegroat@gmail.com. Some of you have heard me talk about this before. Another great way into the luxury or higher end expired or real estate market is through expired listings. So you may have heard me mention Sean Stanfield. Sean is here in Huntington Beach. Sean's team is Wall Street Journal, for many years, number one team. He also started his high-end career in Huntington Harbor, and he did it, I'm going to guess it was probably 30 years ago, in a crashing market cycle. Now, here's what happened. Sean was newer to the business. He did not have the money to spend a fortune on marketing. So he went into that area where he wanted to dominate, and he started listing the expired listings. So there's a saying when you're working high end, it's better off to be the firstborn, the second wife, or the second or third agent on a luxury listing. So let me give you an example. A client was telling me today that they listed a home 2 weeks ago for $1.6 million, and they just sold it for $1.45 million. But guess what? It was listed with the previous agent at 2.4. It was listed with the agent before that at 2.8. And 2 years ago, they first listed with an agent at 3.4. So sometimes in those higher end listings, if it's you're the first one to the table, they might not be realistic. They might not have a great sense of urgency to sell, and it might not be a good one for you to take. So be careful. We don't want to burden you with unsaleable properties or expensive properties to market. But expireds are a great way in because they're either completely still psycho or they've been beat up enough to be reasonable. So personal connections from people who have your, or I should say professional connections, that could be attorneys, that could be your financial planner, that could be an opportunity. Referrals from any other luxury clients you have, you know, I always say rich people have rich friends, so they're likely to be able to give you higher end referrals. Also, another thing to keep in mind too, rich people get bored and have more options and therefore tend to move more often. So someone told me a story the other day that they listed a house for $3 million, sold it. The sellers were building a brand new house. So they moved into their brand new $5 million house, didn't like the neighbors, and said, okay, I know we've only been here 30 days. We hate it here. Sell this house. So she sold that house and sold him another one for $5 million. So that's kind of a lot of volume in a relatively short period of time. So you kind of got to love them for that, right? Rich people may have rich friends and rich people may tend to move around a bit more often. Now, one other source that is a favorite could be holding higher end open houses. Maybe it's your listing, maybe it's someone else in your company, totally fine. Gives you a chance to meet some high price point clients without spending a fortune in marketing. So if you decide you want to do higher end or luxury, email me with questions, ask questions here at the end today in just a minute. If you're in private coaching, definitely talk to your coach and they'll help you fine tune your prospecting source or sources. So on your luxury presentation, let's talk about that for a couple minutes before I open up the line. Be over-prepared, and if you don't personally have a track record in that area or that price point, then use the track record of your company if that works for you, right? So if you go in well-prepared, knowing that if I can dazzle with how much market share we have, how many homes we've sold, then maybe it'll be okay that I haven't sold in this price point. But let's say you're worried that it won't be, and that particular seller is going to be really tough. There's nothing wrong with partnering with another luxury agent and going in and leaning on that luxury agent's track record. And the great news is then you get to see that luxury agent in action. So maybe you do 4 or 5 listing appointments in a partnership. You learn what they know. You get some track record behind you, and now you're good to go. And it's actually not unusual in luxury that agents may co-list even if they're not the same company. But that's, of course, up to your broker. Not too long ago, a few months back, Ernie Carswell sold Herman Woke's home. Now, if you remember Herman Woke, fabulous author, renowned author. I think he wrote Winds of War and many other books. Well, it's so funny. This is just a great inspiration. When Ernie listed his property, Herman, he co-listed it because Ernie's in Beverly Hills, but Herman wanted Ernie. And so Ernie chose a Palm Springs agent and they co-listed and partnered. And I think this is just so classic. Herman was in his mid-90s or so. And he told Ernie, I'm going to have to move into the guest house so you can show the main house. I don't want to be bothered because I'm writing my next book. Well, in the course of the transaction, he finished his book. Ernie sold him a new home. He moved in, lived there for a bit, and passed away. But what a great guy, right? In his 90s, he's like selling, buying, writing books. So that's a good inspiration for us. So don't feel you have to have a track record. It's the chicken and the egg. I can't get the luxury if I don't have a track record, but I can't get a track record if I don't get the luxury. So partner or lean on your company's stats. And if all else fails, own it. You know, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, you're right. I do not have a track record in this market. And if I may share with you, that's exactly why you should list with me. Because you see, I am determined to dominate this market. That means I'm going to put extra time, extra focus, and attention. I'm going to work overtime to make sure this is an incredibly successful outcome. You'll reap the rewards of that, and that will help launch me in this community. And by the way, I have the backup of my senior leadership team in the company, and we have a great reach as a company into this market. Okay, so just be prepared for that, because if it's in your head and you're not prepared, it's going to screw you up when you get to the table. Now, in the listing domination course, we have the 6 hours of listing training. So you can go to the training tab on Inner Circle. You can turn that on whenever you choose. And we have the listing language for today's Savvy Seller scripting. If you guys have not listened to that, please do so. Remember, you can download your Excellium app. All of that is still functioning just fine. And you can listen to the listing language for today's Savvy Seller. We have a transcript there for you. And just make a note, if you've forgotten about it, the 3 pricing strategies. Because as you can imagine, with higher end or luxury properties, seldom are they cookie cutter. Now they might be, they might be. They could be, you know, a semi-custom neighborhood where all the houses were built about the same time, and it's relatively easy to arrive at a value. Often, though, view is a factor, the style of construction, the location in the community. If it's waterfront, is it deep water, shallow water? If it has a well, does it have bad water, good water? I mean, there's just all sorts of things that factor in that might make it hard to have an exact price. And that's why the three strategies and using a price range will work well for you. So you could say, you know, Mr. Mrs. Seller, I believe that the market data indicates we're in a range between 1.2 and 1.5. Now, let's talk about three pricing strategies we could consider. Strategy number one, we price to the data. And that's what we do when we feel that you need a quick sale or a buyer's likely to seek an appraisal and we want to be sure it's not a problem. Strategy number two, less is more. Very popular in the higher end price point. We price at the low end of the data, knowing that it may spark multiple bids and certainly a lot of attention. And we could end up selling it for more than we even thought we would. Strategy number three, retail pricing. That's where we go as high as we feel the market will bear, knowing that we can put the property on sale if it's not, the market's not responding. So based on your scenario, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, which strategy do you prefer? See, Sean Stanfield always talks about time over motivation. In other words, he will take it a little high if he knows that over time, they're going to become more motivated. But again, be careful and be careful with your budget. Set in advance what you're willing to do. And if they decide they want a rodeo with Ferraris parked in front in their front yard, then they may have to pay for that. And actually in higher end and luxury, sometimes sellers will advance some of the extra marketing and the agent may pay that back all or a percentage at the close. Okay, so I want to take a minute now, and I just want to stop as I have a few questions that were sent in that I'll answer. I also want to turn on my email. Let me open that up. So you can either do *7 and unmute yourself and ask your question, or you can email me. Just remember, if you email me, send it to the personal email, debbiedgroat@gmail.com. Okay, so debbiedgroat@gmail.com if you have a question, or go ahead and hit *7 now and that will open up your line for me. So I'll give you just a minute. Don't be shy. But I did get a couple questions sent in. So if you guys are quiet today, I will dive right into those. Okay, I think I hear someone. Did you have a question for me?
Debbie?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Kamal.
Hey, Kamal. Good morning, Kamal. Go right ahead. Fire away.
Okay. I just want to ask you about how can we incorporate the new name? Can we incorporate the new name, take advantage of Forward and with you and Ken to be able to have it in our maybe listing presentation that we are.
Good question. And Kamal, thank you so much for asking. So yes, what we are redoing right now for you. So you guys may not be aware, but on the inner circle, you already have waiting there for you a press release. And that press release was intended to be used with your clients to be able to say, we are part of a coaching group with some of the best agents and the best coaches hands down across North America. And that allows me to be part of a network group where we send referrals to each other. People like Ernie Carswell, who sold the Brady Bunch house. He's in my network group. Sean Stanfield, Wall Street Journal, number one team. Now you could add one of our head coaches, Ben Kinney, is known to be one of the most tech-savvy company owners in the real estate space and number three on RealTrends top team in the entire country. So yes, we'll redo that press release to incorporate Ben. And as soon as we get that done, just give me a couple of days and we'll get that out to you guys. And I have had clients tell me that when they used that press release and they talked about this network of connections with great agents, that that did very much impress their sellers. Because again, you know, Barbara Cochran wrote a book a few years back, and the title of the book was, If You Don't Have Big Breasts, yes, you heard me right, if you don't have big breasts, wear ribbons in your pigtails. So her subtitle was, Use What You've Got, right? So absolutely, Kamal, we're working on that for you guys. We'll have it very quickly and get it out to you. Okay, I think there was a lady with a question.
Debbie, this is Holly Sanders from Miami, Florida.
Of course, Holly. I remember you,
How
Holly.
Are you?
Very good. How are
Julie
you? Loves working with you. I'm great. How
yes.
can I help you?
She's terrific. Do you have a listing strategy? I never had to have one, and I had listings drop into my hat. And
okay.
when I'm transferring to the luxury market, I see that you have to have a listing strategy. Like, it's not only your listing presentation book, but a method.
Right.
A method or a strategy, like step one, step two, step
uh-huh.
three, step four. Do you have something or can you give us something?
I do. I am so glad you asked. So if you go to, Holly, your inner circle, and you
yes.
go to training tab, and under
yes.
the training tab, look for the course. It's either listing domination or dominating your listing market.
Yes, I've been to that, listing domination.
Okay, so there's 6 hours there,
yes.
where I take you in 6 hours. And then if you look at the listing language scripting, guys, that
yes.
is your process. Okay, so if you read it again and you look at the process, and I'm going to break it down for you so you'll catch the steps. Step
yes.
one is it begins at the curb. How they see you, you know, when they look out the window and you're taking notes and you're taking photos,
yes.
they see that you're already excited. Step two is the tour of the property, the pre-marketing
yes.
tour, and where you're not saying too much and you're not saying things that will offend them or overwhelm them. Then step three is you get them to the table, and as you go through your marketing, you're engaging them. So you're not just pitching
yes.
at them, right?
Yes.
Then step four,
yes.
we call it eliminate the seller's pact. That's where you give them a moment alone, because guys, remember, we all know they probably say to each other, we are not going to make a decision today, but then Holly comes and they love her, but they need a moment alone. So Holly says, let me take one more walkthrough on my own and give you two a moment to talk. Now Holly comes back, and I think we're on step five or six, and now
yes,
we go
five.
Through the right five. We go through the market data, and then
yes.
we move into, based on the data, let's look at our three pricing strategies, and based
yes.
on this strategy, which one is right for you. And then we go to the close, and guys, remember, the best transition to the close is by when would you like your home sold to the right buyer? And then based on that, here's why we should get started today. So it's surprisingly simple. And honestly, the more complicated we make it seem, the less likely they are to list. Because guys, it's just a
yeah.
fact. A confused mind hesitates to take action. When you give them too much to absorb, they need to think it over and get back to you. So I always recommend in the listing domination, if your company has a phenomenal package and it's 45 pages long and you want to drop that off ahead of time, by all means, go right ahead. That's called the thud factor, right? But when you actually go into that appointment, Holly, you want to take 10 to 15 pages max that really are more concise that you're comfortable speaking to. Now, for those of you who are in private coaching, I would encourage you to send your listing package either electronically or by mail to your coach. Have them look at it for you and with you. For those of you who are not in private coaching, you're in the inner circle, or those of you in private coaching who prefer to send it to me, send me what you have to debbiedegroat@gmail.com. I will look at it for you and I'll comment back. Okay? So it needs to be personal to your market, to your brand, and that's why we don't provide a cookie cutter model, because that's just hard to do that. But we'll help you with it.
Yeah. That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, any other questions?
Good morning, Debbie. It's Peggy Gaskin in Scottsdale, Arizona. How are you?
Hey, Peggy. I'll see you soon, right?
Right. Great stuff. I've started to work in the listing domination. And my question, because the goal is to move up in price.
Right.
I'm having some successes at the $1 million plus. For our market, that's considered luxury. However, my farm area, which I've been diligent about for over a year, staying with the market pieces, had Pete look at some of the pieces and adapt. But in my farm area, I'm not experiencing the success I would like. I'm getting people who aren't even in the same area code taking listings here. And I'm just perplexed how I can marry those two together. The listing domination with a place I've lived and worked for 20 years, have lots of friends and lots of people who refer me. But for some reason, I'm not getting called to the table for the listings. I know that's a big question.
Well, so a few things that come to my mind, and I'm also happy always to look at your marketing pieces. Pete's a great advisor, and I would say that we want to make sure we're showcasing you as the expert, of course. And sometimes, Peggy, the best way in is, as we discussed a moment ago, start watching for those expireds and keep close tabs on them. But also, guys, there's something I used to do. I called it working the pre-expired. So I would watch in my farm area when something was 160 days on the market, because I assumed it was probably a 180-day listing, because most of the higher end were. So I'd watch for the 160-day on the market, and I'd watch for the out-of-area agent. So then let's say that Peggy is an out-of-area agent. So I'd give her a call, and I'd say, hey, Peggy, you know, it's Debbie DeGrow, and I know you've got this listing in this area on Main Street. I live there. I work and specialize there. And I know you've had it about 160 days. So I hope you won't be offended. I had a little business proposal for you. So if you're tired of it, or if your sellers are frustrated and you just think it's too exhausting because it's not close to you, then what I would like to do is offer to somehow partner with you on that. So if you want a co-list, I'm open to that. If your seller is demanding that they're going to change agents, if you'll just refer me and get me connected before the expiration, I'll be happy to pay you a referral fee. And then, of course, at least you recoup some of your time and money invested. Would you be interested in that? Okay. Now, were they all interested in that? No. But is there any harm in asking? No. You know, and then I would just say, well, if it just comes to the end and you lose the listing, if you'll just put my name in front of that seller and they call me, I'll still pay you the referral fee.
That is fabulous. So, that really fits with my personality.
Yeah.
I like that.
So we can watch the expireds, watch the FSBOs, make sure that you are, Pete has a saying, whatever anyone does it to market themselves in their area, you just have to do it better. Right? So we have to be more visible and making sure that, you know, as Pete would always say, what is the conversation going on in their mind? So what do they need, a move-up guide? Do they need a downsize guide? You know, do we want to do sneak preview open houses and make it special? So, yeah, just more ways to get connected.
Okay, good stuff.
But
thank
guys,
you so much.
Here is the problem. The problem is when I used to have my geographic farm, I door knocked it twice a month, dropped off something then, I mail marketed twice a month. I did all the stuff we just talked about, and I had 80% market share. But I don't believe in most farms that would be possible any longer. Because what happens is they go online to Zillow and whoever else, you know, they go, some real estate portal, and they get pulled away and distracted away from the local farmer. And that's one of the reasons I did this partnership with Ben, because he and I are going to be coming out with ideas and strategies to take that power back, to make sure they come to you first. So some of it, Peggy, is just not your fault. It's just the nature of the beast today.
Okay, I'm really, really interested in that conversation because I've been honorable to this for a long time, and it used to bring me a lot of business and money, and it's just not working the way I'm doing it. So I'll be following
that.
Okay,
good. Well, we'll talk more, and I'll see you soon in Scottsdale, which, by the way, guys, if any of you are near Scottsdale or can jump on a plane for a very quick little flight in and would like to join us, it's a small venue. But I think we have just a few seats left. I think we shut down the reservations in the next couple of days. That's on Tuesday, September 17th, full day. Okay? All right. Any other questions for me? Okay. So, guys.
Hello?
Yep. Go right ahead. I can hear you.
Sorry about that. This is Jackson Tomaszewski from Helenet Island, South Carolina. And
hey, how are you guys doing? Okay there? No craziness with the weather impacting you?
We actually made out really well. So we're doing great. Thank you for asking. Appreciate that.
Okay, good. Beautiful
but,
part
yeah,
of the country.
We made out. Yes, ma'am. And I just had a quick question about what's the best way. So when you're talking about presenting yourself as a luxury real estate agent, like, you know, with our company, you have a title that you can earn for a specific amount of volume in a year, of course, but like, what's the best way to present, you know, your past, closings or successes with that?
Yeah.
Like, do you have
a
template or something like that?
If you have success in the luxury or if you don't have success yet in the luxury?
No, when you're like, if you already have it in the past, like what's the best way to actually present it to a customer or a client to show them that you've had it? Like what's the best way to present that to them?
Well, a couple of thoughts. I always think about it this way. They care if they can see that it matters to them, right? So we could go in and spend the whole appointment. Any one of us could bragging about our track record and blah, 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 and they're very bored. Or on the other hand, in the pre-list package, we could have the bio, you know, the number of years, the number of units, our average price point. We could highlight some iconic properties that you've sold. Certainly have your reviews and testimonials. And in the six ways people are persuaded, one is social proof. So that would be your reviews and testimonials. Another, though, is authority. So authority is when, so for an example, I announced to you guys my new partnership but the fact that in the news and risk media were excited enough about it to post that on their news feed yesterday, that's, quote, an authority. So if you have a really high-level client like Ernie Carswell, he's done multiple transactions for Katy Perry, and Katy's very vocal about that. That's an authority. So you would showcase those big stories. And talking about it in how does it matter to them? You know, the fact that I've closed X amount of transactions in this price point means that I have the track record and the experience to help you achieve the highest realistic price possible. And because of my networking with truly some of the most connected and influential people in my community, that allows me to have a quality pool of buyers. And what that means to you is I can deliver quality prospects and agent connections through my fellow top agents who respect my reputation. So here's what it is, and here's why it matters to you. So guys, as you're constructing your presentation, think about in the mind of the prospect, they're skeptical and they're often thinking, so what does that mean to me? So tell them, this is where I'm strong and this is how that impacts you, right? So pre-packages are great. Just don't count on that they'll read it all. So that's why you want to go back and hit the highlights. And then we certainly want to get those great reviews and testimonials, because that is the proof, right? The proof that you do what you do. And then if you guys want to, I think it'd be really good for you, go to Ernie Carswell's website, Carswell and Partners, Ernie Carswell and Partners, C-A-R-S-W-E-L-L. Look at how he promotes himself. Maybe reach out and friend him on Facebook. Let him know you work with me and that you'd like to be his friend on Facebook. You can check out Sean, S-E-A-N, Stanfield, S-T-A-N-F-I-E-L-D. Also a great agent, Lori Bartron, and that's B-A-R-T-R-O-N. We're going to send you the interview, so you'll have her name and contact info. So find a few luxury agents and watch how they do it. Not saying they're all doing it right, but it might give you some ideas that would be helpful. Okay. So guys, the last two things I had for you, just very quick. Remember, you're dealing with really savvy people for the most part. They could be CEOs, or they could have business managers that are going to be tougher for you to deal with. They're used to five-star service, so they're certainly going to expect that from you. And some of them are very wonderful and very nice, and some of them view salespeople as not much better than they might think of their gardener. So you got to be careful not to be overly familiar and not to take liberties in, you know, the relationship. Be respectful. You know, if you think about going to a five-star hotel, you know, it's Mr. and Mrs. and they stand back in the hallway when you pass. It's a five-star hotel. They're respectful. Now, they may set a different tone. They may want a better relationship. They may be more friendly. So if so, just follow their lead. That's the best. And then be very, very discreet. In fact, the higher you go in the price point, at times they may ask for you to sign a confidentiality or non-disclosure, you know, an NDA. And, you know, that's one thing I know Ernie is very careful about. So he'll only talk about his clients if they talk about it first, or if it's been posted all over the news feed, because then the world already knows. So be respectful, be discreet, and especially, you know, when you're working with a client, letting them know you don't talk about other clients' personal business, otherwise they may not give you those referrals, right? So okay, guys, I know we've got just a couple minutes left, and if there's a last question or two, go ahead and fire away.
Hello? Debbie?
Yes, go right ahead.
Hi, Debbie. This is Sandra Ayurati. Can you hear me?
Hi, Sandra. Yeah, let me let the gentleman go first, and then I'll get right back to you. Okay,
sure.
Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Debbie. This is Kamal from Tucson.
Okay, Kamal, go ahead.
Ernie Kurzweil, is he related to Larry Kurzweil?
I don't know. Ask him.
Larry Kurzweil?
I'm not sure.
Larry Kurzweil? You know Larry Kurzweil? He's the CEO of Universal Studios.
I would say no, because I think after coaching Ernie for so many years, I probably would have heard about that and made him work the shit out of that connection. So I don't think so. I don't think so. But you can go ahead and ask him if you friend him on Facebook.
I want to tell you why, because I sold Larry Kurzweil his house in Santa Barbara.
Oh, wow. Amazing. Well,
yeah.
I don't know. So you can ask him, but I'm not sure. Okay, so Sandra, I think you had a question.
Yes, thank you so much. Debbie, this is Sandra Ayurati from Amherst, New Hampshire. This couldn't have come at a better time because, ironically enough, I just signed my first very high luxury listing, so I'm pretty super excited about it.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm really excited about it. It's an 82-acre hilltop estate in Lyneborough, New Hampshire, and it's going on for 2.5. So
wow.
I'm pretty excited about that. Yeah, it's really nice. So it's a huge level up for me from that angle. And a previous caller had asked about the strategies and the steps to get there. Well, I got there. Now my question is, now what? I'm like, oh my God, I'm shaking in my boots. I got the listing. So all of the things that have to happen after that, of course, I've got a big marketing strategy that I'm looking to put together in terms of a little mini movie and all the brochures and putting together the open houses and all of that. It's actually going to get listed next week. So there's all of that to do, which is great. The coming soon and the pre-listing stuff. But then after that, launching it, I guess that's going to be a trick. It's a hat trick, and there's a lot to it, and I'm learning as I'm going, but at the same time I know a lot about it as well because I'm also in marketing too, but it's kind of exciting. So I just wanted to kind of get your advice and what you think I should
sure.
be doing next.
Yes, and so the Ernie video is great, but I think the actual transcript and audio interview where I pulled Ernie, Boris, Lori, and Pat Marquis from Aspen, I pulled them together. And there was some pretty good conversation on that about things that they were doing to market their listings that they shared. So I think when you get that, which I'll make sure the team sends out to all of you as soon as possible, when you get that, I think that will give you some great ideas. And then you'll also, Ernie is really very good at launching, you know, launching his properties to the market. And he does, you'll be able to see a lot of that on his website. So I would check that out. But guys, in working with a lot of the luxury agents, you'd be a little bit surprised. They don't necessarily do a lot of fancy stuff. You know, they really rely on their networking in the top agent community. So they reach out to the other luxury agents. They host the broker tours. They make it, you know, known on their website, social media. They may even try to identify who would be the ideal type of buyer, and I'm going to target them on online ads. You know, they talk a lot to the sellers about how they're going to work their own networking, you know, make phone calls. So the stuff you see on TV, they don't really do that crazy stuff a lot. It's really more than anything about really digging into the agents in feeder markets or in their local markets. So, for example, when Ernie Kurzweil listed the Brady Bunch house, which really wasn't a high-end house, that was actually a really very modest house. And I think it was originally priced at $1.8 million, and it sold over $4 million just because it was the Brady Bunch house. But point being, you know, Ernie and I were talking about the fact that it was such a well-known property and such a unique type of buyer. The buyers came pouring in from everywhere. In fact, Sean Stanfield in Huntington Beach called me one Saturday and said, I've got a buyer who wants to buy Ernie's listing. Can I have Ernie's cell phone? So I would just think about local top agents, feeder markets, and the type of buyer that would be likely to enjoy that type of property, and maybe a direct mail campaign. But it sounds like an incredible property. It makes me want to buy it, because here in Newport Beach, that would be a starter house. And darn, 82 acres on the top of a hill, I'm jealous.
Oh my God, no, it is. It's absolutely stunning. And it's a very beautiful square piece of property. It has a lot of rolling fields that are flat, and in the backside, there are some woods as well. So great for, you know, that the person who could be interested in equestrian, any other outdoor activities, snowmobiling, cross-country skiing, or even motocross, that type of thing, throw in some,
wow,
some trails in the back. It's really beautiful, and the home is a 7,000-square-foot colonial. It's it's very stately, very elegant, and it's 1,200 feet off the road. It's in a beautiful area. So it is a bargain, you know, compared to other parts of the country. In this area, it might be at the retail level. It would not necessarily be a bargain here for the locals, but at the same time, it definitely can command that. So I'm really super excited about it. It's a great property. Is there a way share this with our inner circle as well?
Yeah, and we're going to work on some new, you know, Facebook things and things that we're going to be doing. But what I would do right now that would probably make the most sense for you is I would go to the referral network on the inner circle, and I would just look at the profiles of agents, anyone that you think might be in your feeder market. And then also what you're doing right now is exactly what you should do. But I would go to like the top 5 or 10 dominant luxury agents in your market. One thing I know about luxury agents, especially in a smaller market with unique properties, they tend to know who the buyers are.
Exactly.
And the buyers tend to be circling for quite some time. So that would be my first must do, and invite them in for a sneak preview to come and meet and critique the property, and maybe ask for their feedback and opinion, and get them engaged right away. That'd be your number one thing.
Okay, before it even gets listed, before the listing actually happens?
Well, no, you get it listed, obviously, but if you haven't hit the market, sure, you could bring them in.
Going live, live next Thursday, like in a week and a half.
Absolutely, absolutely, and you could really position that as a benefit to your seller.
Okay, perfect. All right, great. Hey, well, thank you so much. I totally appreciate it.
All right, guys, well, I'm going to have to run and get to another meeting, but if you had a question I didn't have time to answer, go ahead and email me, debbiedgroat@gmail.com, and just know that month by month, we're going to be rolling out new cool things and special mastermind sessions, and I think we're going to do a 1st of December event where you'll be able to meet Ben and his fabulous group of people that he's bringing to the party to help us. So thanks for being here today, and we look forward to talking to you all soon. So just email me if you need me. All right, guys, have a great day.